Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to the Roundtable, Mother and Daughter Roundtables here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, on a beautiful, crisp Saturday morning. It's just wonderful. I just want to say, I want to thank God, first of all, for allowing us to get up this morning and, you know, being in our right minds and being able to move. You know, when you think about it, all is well. You know, sometimes when we get up in the morning, we have these conversations, these intro conversations about all the things that need to be done that didn't get done. And the enemy just want to start a conversation with you before you can even get to say thank you to God. And that's something that we teach here at Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries, is how to manage that intro conversation, how to control those ongoing conversation that's taking you to a place where you don't want to go, you know. So I just want to say, Father God, we thank you this morning. We bless your name. We thank you for the wonderful opportunity, Father, to get up this morning and to share your word with mothers and daughters around the world. I thank you for my co-hosts, Cynthia Oliver and Frida Hunter. Frida's not with us this morning, but Father God, just bless her wherever she's at this morning. Bless Cynthia and her family, and that give us the grace to do your will. That's all we ask, is for your grace to do your will, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go in here a little bit this morning. Let's talk about what's going on with mothers and daughters. We are, you know, be careful what you ask for. You get it, and then when you get it, you're just trying to juggle it to find out, what do I do with it? God has been very good to us. We've got a lot of things going on now. 2017 is very promising. The things that we prepared for 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that I sat back and would say to God, you know, why are you having us to design all these programs and what are we going to do with it? You know, what do you want us to do with it? Because I was always looking at, okay, we got the program completed. Now, where's the resources? And, you know, I've learned now that don't even ask that question, because it's a process. And I'm getting more in tune with it, because I'm seeing what God had us to do years ago unfold right before our eyes. And we are actually being able to just watch God's hand move, you know, to be able to trust him. And it, like, nothing that you do would go void, Bessie. You know, I didn't put you all together and design programs and not have a plan for it. You know, patience is a key element. And, you know, and that's a lesson, I'm sure, that he wanted me to learn out of the whole, this whole journey, is, you know, learn to be patient and just wait. But the most defining thing is that, you know, there's nothing you can do anyway. You can't create anything. Just think about it. You can't even create a penny. You cannot create a penny. You can't create a dollar. Some people try to, but it never works, because they really can't create something that they didn't design or create it from the beginning. You can't recreate something that you didn't create originally. Let me say it that way. So with all that being said, is that, you know, we just have to wait on God and know that he has a plan. And that's where that faith come in, you know, that trust. But you have to have your hope. So the faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. So you're hoping. And so in that hope, you know, you got the faith. I'm hoping that this comes through. I'm hoping that this falls on time. You know, you got that hope. But it's the evidence of things not seen. So you don't see it, but you hoping. And that comes all from faith. And faith is the only thing that's going to move God. It's just like it's like playing a game of chess. You know, you got to know when to move, when not to move, you know, and then all the time you got to have faith to trust that you can protect your king and your queen back there. You know, you just, it all boils around faith. You got to have faith. And the more you are traveling on the journey and the more encounters that you have, it builds not only your character, it builds your relationship with God, and it increases your faith, because the encounters that you have will draw you nigh to God, and therefore you'll start reading the Bible, you'll start talking to Him more, and all of a sudden you start believing, because you'll start seeing the evidence. You'll see the evidence of things coming together. And, you know, like when my foot was sore and I had this terrible scar on the bottom of my left foot. And, you know, for months I'm praying, Lord, I know I'm healed. I know I'm healed. And I stood on that. And I knew that my foot had the capability to heal itself. It was built in. But yet it was not. I had no evidence that it was healing. You know, I couldn't even see it look like a scab was getting on it or anything. It was just like raw, just meat hanging out of an openness under the bottom of my foot. And the enemy was just trying to get into my intra conversation and says, oh, this is going to happen. They're going to have to cut your foot off. And, you know, just a whole bunch of nonsense. But I decided, no, you are a liar. There's no way that you have any evidence about something that's going to happen to me. And I had to stand, because if I didn't, if I had just gotten in that conversation with him, I'm telling you, I would not have had a foot. And then, I mean, because it just got dark, and looked like it was just getting all kinds of, I don't want to call the things that people call when you're having problems with your feet, but it just looked like it was going in the wrong direction. It was getting worse as I was holding on to my faith. And I'm saying this morning, I don't know why the Lord had me saying this, but wherever you are, hold on to your faith. I'm telling you, He will do exactly what He said. And one day, when I heard this guy, Brian, praying, and he was the one that it was something in that prayer. I was in so much pain, just pain. And I said, Lord, I know I'm healed. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I know I'm healed, because that's what Jesus died for. And I'm not going to let Him hang on the cross, and then I don't have enough faith to believe that what He said He's going to do, that you're going to do that. And when I heard that prayer, something just kind of snapped in my spirit, and I felt it, and I said, by in the morning, you will be healed. There will be no pain. It just snapped in my spirit. And the next morning, I'm telling you, I got up. The whole thing was I hate to even say it like this, but the meat that was hanging out of that little, I mean, it was a round circle, just about as big as a penny. I said, dime. And it just would not go away. Raw, tender. It dried up, dropped off, and I'm telling you, it was closed up and sealed. You could barely see the circle. And that's when I knew. I said, oh, my God. He took me on that journey. But I can tell you this, that elevated my faith. And from that, I said, God, I saw your hand move. I'm talking about months dealing with that. And then all of a sudden, overnight, the next morning, once I said it, it clicked in my spirit, and I said, by tomorrow morning when I get up, the pain is going to be gone. You will be healed, closed up, no signs. And I'm telling you, it worked. I cannot get over that. I'll remember that for the rest of my life. But that incident, it just elevated my faith. And from that point on, I'm looking at a lot of things that's going on around me, but I say what? I believe. I believe. I believe. Because God has shown me when you really elevate your faith to match my word, the miracle happens. And until you've gotten that miracle, do not give up on your faith. Now, this is for someone, because this is not what I plan to talk about this morning. Do not give up on your faith. I don't care what it looks like. Right now, you're at a turning point in your life, mothers and daughters, where it looks like you've given it all that you have. It looks as if there's nothing else that you can do. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. You don't know who to talk to. And hold on to your faith, because the more you encounter, the closer you are. I'm telling you, I've heard this so many years. I've heard people telling that on radio, television. You hear it. It comes in one ear and go out the other sometimes. But if you just really spend some time meditating, talking to God, and listening and feeling that spirit, I'm telling you, you're closer to it. Just like we are. We are close to so many things right now that I'm sort of like in a state of, like an unconscious state of peace, because I'm not worrying about it. I know he's going to do it, and it's unfolding. So whomever that's for, I know it's for me, because I went through it. The Lord wanted me to share that with you this morning, just to let you know that he loves you, he cares about you, and just know that. With that being said, I'm going to share something with you. We're getting ready. I'm getting ready to announce the book. The book is coming out. Should be done. It's done, but I mean, it should be from the printer within the next week. And we're scheduled to go around and do book signings. The book is Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters, and it is exactly what it says. I didn't write it. My hands put the words on the paper, but God wrote it, and he gave the title, Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters, and it is specifically just that. He's saying things that's in the Bible, you know, that I didn't even know was there. Maybe you will recognize some of them, but I doubt very seriously anyone will recognize all of them. That was the purpose of bringing the book out. But he wants us to know how much he cares for us, and he cannot do what he wants to do on this earth without us, mothers. It's going to take the mothers coming together in order for God to achieve what he wants to achieve in this earth. Now, we see how the world is changing. We see what's going on in the communities, and we see the shootings and the disturbance and fightings and just people going after each other. That's not God. But God is saying, mothers, I need your help. Will you help me? Because it's going to take the mother in order to bring the children together. And when I say children, I'm talking about you can be 80 years old if your mother's still living. You still her child. So it's not about an age thing. It's about mothers coming together, helping God to heal this earth. And that's what it's going to take. So you will see me out there. You will see me talking about this. Just know he needs your help. He wants to know, will you help me, mother? I gave you dominion. I gave you power and authority over the children. You have 9 months to set the tone, the temperament for the child, maybe a daughter or a son. And out of that 9 months, stand before God and say you've done the very best you could in that 9 months to make sure that child knew about Jesus before it came out, or before he or she came out. What did you do to introduce that child to God during the 9 months period? Think about that. Sometimes we get so excited with the expectation of having the child that we spend more time in preparation for the room and the clothes and the parties and things of that nature, but did you actually introduce the child to God? Did you actually read to the child the Word of God? Those are things that we need to implement for our new mothers. And he says the older women in Titus 2 to teach the younger women. And that's what we're out to do. So keep us in prayer as we travel doing mother and daughter conferences and mother and daughter experiences. You'll hear more about that in the future. All right, that brings us to our topic this morning. We are dealing with, let's see where we are here. We are coming. We're going to continue what we were talking about last week. The reason why it was such a topic, an interesting topic, feedback is always good on this topic. And my spirit this morning, I was saying, what are we talking about? It's expanded, getting to a healthy mother and daughter relationship, part two. Last week we talked about, let me say this. For the newcomers that are coming on, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie, and we're here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. And what are we doing? We are here to give the good news to mothers and daughters, to let them know that God loves them, and to also to share our experiences as mothers so that it will maybe be a testimony to you in some way that will help you build your faith and create a healthier, closer relationship with God. You can text and not drive. You can text your friends, mothers and daughters, and ask them to please join us. We're at 347-539-578. That's 347-539-5078. The other thing I want to talk to you about, too, we are going to launch a shoebox campaign for the women that we work with in the prison in South Florida. I think we have 154 women, 156, and we're going to collect underwear, panties and bras and toiletries to put in those boxes. So we're going to start announcing that today, and then we're going to start pushing it. We're going to go on Facebook. We're pushing that you will join us in giving to one of the ladies. They're still mothers and they're daughters. They're someone's daughter. And we want to be able to give them, this is something that they need. This is not something that we just want to give for some, to be impressed by us or anything like this. We've been working with the prison, and especially Cynthia, she teaches every Thursday. And been doing it almost 4 years. You know, we've been going back and forth. And this is something that she recognizes a need. And so we want to push that, and we're going to be sending it out on our face, doing some marketing on that, that you can at least maybe extend a bra and panty set. But you can't just do anyone. We have to let you know. So email me at drbessie1, drbessie, @gmail.com. That's drbessie1 @gmail.com. And we'll send you the exact sizes, and you know, there's a color. I think it's all white, but we'll get that information to you. I just wanted to say that. Thank you before I get into the conversation today. Getting to a healthy mother and daughter relationship, part two, is what we're going to continue with. And the reason I'm going to continue that this morning, not only did the Holy Spirit nudge my spirit with it, it's because it's a key element. You know, when we're talking about codependency, and Cynthia went through, I think it's about 10 different things last week. We'll brief those again because you always have newcomers, new callers on the line. We'll brief that again just briefly. And then I want to talk about the areas in which most people don't realize that they're codependent. And the reason that is so key to me is because, you know, we had a young girl when we did the mother and daughter retreat. And she said to me, Dr. Fletcher, you know, that class that they taught it up there changed my life. And I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, because you're talking about a young lady that's in the 11th grade. She said, because what I recognized was I didn't know I was codependent on my friends. You know, if they didn't go with me to the mall, if they wouldn't go with me to the movies, I'd get all upset and and angry and, you know, I just felt like I couldn't do it without them. And so it would just, you know, ruin my day because I was angry because they wouldn't go with me. Did not know that was being codependent. And now I know I don't need them to do this. And so this is a key element, and I just didn't want to jump over that from last week. I kind of want to go back over it again today and expand on that because there's so many areas that you can get codependent on, and you really would think it's love. You'll think that, oh, he loves me, oh, she loves me, oh, I have to do this for my mother because if I don't do it for my mother, then she'll get upset with me, and I don't want her to get upset with me. So just to keep down all of the hassles and all of the problems, I'm just going to just do it and go on. Those are some of the things. And we had a young lady talked about her experience there at the Mother and Daughter Conference in Orlando. And her daughter, that's the first thing is that it changed my life. Because, see, knowledge is power. And God said people perish because of what? The lack of knowledge. The lack of knowledge. Because once you can understand that the intro conversation is a collection of words that create a thought that produces a vision, then from that vision, what you see is what you get. Because, see, you're thinking the thought, you're seeing it, and that's a guarantee shoe in for manifestation. You know, we can do that on negative things and think nothing about it. Just think about it all day, all night. You know, somebody just kind of, tee you off. You just, you know, it just constantly play and play and play and play and play. And then when you see the person, you're angry because what? You're concentrating on it. You're thinking on it. And it's manifesting. It will show up. It will show up. If we put that same energy in the things that we want that are positive, then it will show up too. Because energy is energy. Now, if you're going to do negative energy, you're going to get negative results. So with that being said, we want to look at how can we change. Let's identify if we are codependent on anything or anyone. Then let's look at how and what we can do to change that codependency and make it into a healthy mother and daughter relationship. You know, you can use these same strategies for any relationship. Keep in mind, you're talking about two individuals. Relationship is two individuals. You can use it for any relationship. So with that being said, I'm going to go to the switchboard, and then we're going to do something a little different this morning. Let's see. Prita's not with us today. She is working on a project, and I'm trying to find, see if we can get the Cynthia here.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher.
Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much. I'm much better. For the audience who don't know, I broke my wrist. I shattered my wrist. Seeing the x-rays yesterday was kind of scary. But I'm better. And there's an enemy that trips you up, didn't want us to go have the conference. And for those who was on the radio last week might have heard that I broke my wrist just before we were supposed to have the conference, and codependency no more was the subject matter. But I am better, Dr. Fletcher. I got the dressing off, so I'm feeling better. A little pain, but God is able. And so because he's able, I'm able to trust him for the healing process. So all is well.
It's a done deal. It's a done deal.
Yeah, all is well. It's a done deal.
Yeah, well, today I want us to kind of go back and forth. You know, audience, we know you're there. I tell people all the time that you never know who's on there. Sometimes I get these emails and it's just, oh, man, I heard the radio program this morning. And I can't see everybody because the switchboard only holds so many people. So when you call in, it's only a few people. You know, when I used to listen to radio programs, I just thought it was open up and everybody could get on. But, you know, you can only have so many people on the switchboard at a time. Now, one person hang up, then another person call in. because I hear people say to me, you know, I tried to get in, I couldn't get in. Well, the all the lines was taken up. There's only so many lines. And so with that, you are here, and I understand that you may not want to talk, and that's okay. But I know you're listening, and I know you're writing things down, because you always let me know how you're blessed with it, and I truly appreciate that. And that blesses me, and I pass it on to Cynthia and Freedom. We're here just to do the will of God. And this morning the Spirit led me, Cynthia, to go back and kind of fine-tune that conversation. And what I want us to talk about this morning is that we're talking about codependency no more. Let's look at some of the ways that a mother and daughter could be codependent on each other.
Okay. Here's what research says the factors leading to codependency is. The factors comes out of lack of feeling, the lack that you love and that you've been nurtured. It's rejection and abandonment, any type of family addiction. Codependency comes out of that. Physical and emotional and sexual abuse. People who struggle with mental and physical disorders. Other factors, when a child has been parentified, people who tend to be obsessive in their thoughts about other people, just feel that they always have to have other people around them, otherwise they don't feel complete or valued, low self-worth. And in the field of psychology, they use low self-esteem and low self-worth interchangeably, but they are two very different things. People pleasers, people who lack boundaries, people who are reactive to life, always reacting, always thinking it's about me. Control issues, want to control everything and everybody in their space. Dysfunctional communication, meaning that they don't know how to express and create boundaries. And the last one is denial. That is the major one, in my opinion. So
okay.
Those are the
so
factors
now,
that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Okay,
yes.
The ones that pop out at me at. I'm not in a position to write this down. If you could write this down, abandonment, parentified, and denial. Let's look at those three.
Okay.
Now, when we're talking about abandonment, you know, for most of you that's online and some of you don't know, I'm a Christian clinical psychologist. And so being in practice, I can pick up on abandonment issues. You know, of course, a person don't realize they have been abandoned. They will tell you, when I was little, my mother, she would always go out and leave me at home by myself. You know, people don't realize there's abandonment issues. Or my mother left me at my grandmother, never did come back. And the child is processing, why? Why would my mother leave me? Why would my mother give me up for adoption? Why would my mother choose a man over me? Why would my mother choose my brother over me? See, there are so many abandonment issues. Why would she just drop me off and go and then at her friend's house and go and come back when the next day? Why would she do that? So the process to me is that fear that where is my mommy? Will she come back? You know what I mean? So that child's state of mind has to stay in that state until they see the mother again, because that fear is, will she come back? You know, especially a little kid, they're just like, and somebody, well, where's my mommy? And they're so excited when they come back. So I'm looking at that and how it affects the mind. So how can that turn into a codependency situation?
It can turn into a codependency situation because it becomes an emotional issue. And out of the emotions that the child experiences and fear most of her life, that the people who she attaches herself to is going to leave them, even in your adult life. And so there lies the codependency. they become so attached to the people that they meet throughout the rest of their lives, and they always have an anxiety or fear that person is going to leave them because mommy and daddy didn't stay. And so they become people pleasers out of that in their attempt to keep the person there. If I can just make them happy, they won't leave me. So that's a constant anxiety going on. And so it has now become an emotional issue. And that's what drives the negative behavior.
And I can see that being a generational thing too, Cynthia, because, you know, when the mother is displaying that fear of, if I can just do the right things, he won't leave me, and the daughter sees that, in her mind, she, as a child, she's thinking that's what love is. Because think about it.
Absolutely.
A child does not see anything outside of the home until he or she is spending the night with someone else. So there's no measure. So you're talking about a child that's in the home, say, up until 4 or 5 years old before they actually go spend a night with a friend. Everything is measured by what they see in the home. So when the mother is doing certain things and allowing, you know, things to happen to her, the child figured, this is the model. This is what it's like. So therefore, now you're transferring those emotions to your daughter, and that's where it goes back to where God said, Ezekiel 16:44, as is the mother, so is the daughter. Because the daughter is going to pick up on that energy. Certain spirits are going to attach themselves to the daughter, and even as hard as we try, we will try as we grow up as daughters to say, no, I'm not going to do it that way. I am not going to be like my mother. Not saying that your mother's a bad person. Every daughter says that at some point in time out of something. We are always striving to do it to the next level. I know I did, and I was like, and my daughter's doing it. I can see it, you know, like I'm taking it to the next level. Because when you have your children, then you're just like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But the older you get, and this is just a fact, the older you get, the more of the things that you saw as a child that were lying dominant in your spirit or in your subconscious mind, as you see and enter into environments that look and smell and taste, as I said, like that particular thing that you saw with your mother, then your normal response is to do the same thing, wouldn't you say? Or you have a different opinion?
Absolutely, Dr. Fletcher. And see, here's the thing. Our mouth say it, but when we have the tendency of codependency, we are petrified of being left alone. And so even though our mouth say, I'm not going to be that way, we will settle in having people around us because we are just so fearful of being by ourselves, because that abandonment, that abandonment, that emotional abandonment creeps up back on us and it triggers us, and we'll go right back to where this whole thing started. And it's a scary thing to have those emotional crises. And so that's why we stay, because we don't want to deal with it. We don't want to feel that way ever again. We don't want to feel that we're by ourselves in this thing called life. So when mothers, And like you said, we're not attacking mothers, but we're just simply explaining how the process starts. And the process starts when, especially with this abandonment thing, is that child internalized that they're not loved. And when you don't feel loved, you'll either do life or you'll let life do you. And unfortunately, people who are codependency, a lot of time, you also mentioned that one of the three was denial. They live in denial that they have an issue. And they think it's perfectly normal just to want to stay with people they may not even like.
Wow. You know, that's pretty deep, too, because when you think about it, I'm glad you went to denial, because when you think about it, they don't realize they're in denial. They just know that something is missing and they feel uncomfortable. That's kind of what came up in my spirit, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it fear will grip you. And if you just feel like you more comfortable or at peace with somebody around you when they're gone, fear will sit in. Now what? Now what you going to do? Especially if you fall out with your friend and then don't have any other friends, you know? Now what? What you going to do?
Yeah.
And so then you feel like, I got to run out and get some more friends, or I got to replace that friend or anything like that. But so you got to have that confidence in yourself that, you know, it is what it is, and have that peace. And I suggest to mothers and daughters out there, take 3 days. If you can take 3 days and shut yourself off and spend 3 days with you, you will discover more about yourself than you have if you've been on this earth 40 or 50 years. Because most people don't want to know who they are.
That's it right there, Dr. Fletcher. They don't want to know.
They don't want to know who they are. They want to know who you are. They want to know who
yeah.
the man is. They want to know who the coworkers are. They do everything they can. They will get on Google. They will look you up. They will read your history. But how many people really do research on themselves? And
that,
you know what that reminds me of?
Piece, Dr. Fletcher.
Yeah, yeah. But it reminds me of, and I could be in denial too, because, you know, we all go through, we're working through processes. You know, it's just like, I know I've been in denial. We all go through it and probably still have some things that I'm in denial for now. But until they come up to the surface that I can recognize them, you know, that's the key. You got to work on yourself. So I'm constantly working. I'm revealing things all the time. But, hey, as Steve Harvey said, I'm a process. I'm still in process. You know, I'm not finished yet. So I like that because it does give you a sense of it's okay. Just keep working on yourself. Just keep discovering who you are, because I was going to say something and went right by me. I know what it was. You tell me all the time, I'm so private. I really don't like to put things out there on Facebook, or I don't use the social media, because I'm always saying, you know, I just don't want people to know where I am or what I'm doing. Well, you know, that's changed. I'm still in denial, trying to hold on that I have this private life, this privacy. And one day God said to me, Google yourself. Just Google your name. Because I wouldn't put my phone number out there. Oh, no, I'm not, Want to run a business, but want to do a private business. Google yourself. And I Googled myself, and 5 pages came up. Things that I'd done, some things that I don't remember even doing it, but then I discovered someone said, well, just if your name was attached to a program, even if you didn't go, if they put you down and they send it out, email it, post it, or whatever, it always go under your name. It will attach it to you. And I'm not an IT person per se, but it really threw me back. And that's when I realized, Bessie, you're not private. So I was in denial for a long time, thinking I was private. Nobody knows anything about me. Well, hey, surprise, it's out there. So those are the kind of things, mothers and daughters, that we're talking about. You know, once you get into who you are, you put so much on Facebook, but get that time, take the time just to get to know who you are. Self-discovery. You know, Frieda and I both, we're doing, and I've been doing it for years, and I think Frieda's been doing it for years, and I stop and I come back to it and stop and come back to it. I do the 3 day. I try to do it at least twice a quarter and take those 3 days of just meditating and praying and spending time with God and looking at things and letting him share things with me. We used to do it the first 3 days of the month. And, of course, you know, Frieda texts me and said, you know, it's the first 3 days of the month. And she was on it. But take the first 3 days of the month, and that's the 10th. That's 3 days out of 30. So you take the first 10th of the month, and spend that time, give that time back to God. And I'm telling you, things will be revealed to you. You'll see things. Things will get clearer. You know, and it's good to do it constantly. I need to get back on it. I used to do it every first three days of the month. So that's just a suggestion. But this is how we can start working on codependency and discovering who we are. And in order for us to get better mothers, in order for us to be healed, then we can heal our daughters. It's just like being on the plane. They tell you what, put the mask on your face first, then help your child. Because if you try to help your child and then you pass out, then the child is gone and you're gone too. So put this 3 days of this time on yourself, get to know who you are, then teach it to your daughters. Now, the other thing that we were talking about, Cynthia, was we got the denial piece in there. And what was the other one?
A lot of people use the definition of denial because a lot of people don't even know what denial is.
Go right ahead.
Denial means that they don't that people don't face their problems. Usually they think the problem is someone else or a situation. They either keep complaining or trying to fix other people. They go from one relationship to another, from one job to another, and never own up to the fact that they have a problem. Codependents also deny their feelings and needs. Often they don't know what they're feeling and are instead focused on what others are feeling and saying about them. The same thing goes for their needs. They pay attention to other people's needs and not their own. They may be in denial of their needs for space and autonomy. Although some codependents seem needy, others act like they're self-sufficient when it comes to meeting their own needs. They won't reach out and have trouble receiving as well. They are in denial of their vulnerability and need for love and intimacy.
Wow. I saw some of me in there. Ouch, ouch.
You know what I always say? You can't say amen, say ouch, baby.
You know, I heard a couple of things went, ooh, 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 okay. Well, that's why we're here. We're here to help each other. I tell folks, I don't have all the answers. I'm just like you. I share my experiences, that my lessons that God teach me during the week. Yeah, that is deep. It carries it to a different level. Somebody, I'm sure most of you out there, if you listen very carefully, could identify with at least one thing. I probably identify with two or three of them. So I will go back and read over that, and I will, look and check myself accordingly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And you also, you said, what was the other one? The other one you mentioned was people-pleasing. Allow me to give that definition as well. It's codependents usually don't think they have a choice. Saying no isn't an option, which causes them anxiety. Some codependents have a hard time saying no to anyone. They go out of their way and sacrifice their own needs to accommodate other people. That's the definition of people-pleasing.
Mm-hmm. But the one I actually said was parentified. I wanted to talk a little bit about
I'm sorry.
That too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. Because the Lord must be wanting somebody to hear that people pleasing. Because you know that's the big thing. Always thinking that.
Oh yeah,
that's a
huge one as well.
Yeah, if I can please them, then they'll like me. And you've been over backwards. How many times have I had clients come in and says, "But after all I've done for them." Even mothers come in and say, after all I've done for that girl, this is how she repays me. And I'm thinking, what? And I even say to her, what do you mean after all you've done? You're the mother. There's no measuring. There's no counting. There's no, how are you going to just add up all that you've done and then deduct what she's not doing and trying to come to some number that it doesn't balance?
it's never going to balance. Because you got hopefully 18 to 20-some years over the child. So it's never going to balance. It's never going to equal up. You are the mother. So there's no way. I don't like it when a mother say, after all I've done for her. Because, see, that that's going to put the child, what, on guilt street. So because I make you feel guilty, because there again is that codependency. I need you to do this to make me happy. And if you don't do this to make me happy, then we have a problem. You don't love me. Is that going down the right road?
Absolutely. And that takes us right into parentification, which is the process of role reversal, whereby a child is obligated to act as a parent to their own parent. In turn, the child is used to feel a void of the alien parent's emotional life.
And, you know, Cynthia, that brings us to something that the young lady said at the conference. I won't call her name because she's not on here tonight, today. But she said, I became my mother's husband. And that just, I have really, I don't think I've ever heard, and out of all the counseling that I've had, I've never heard anybody say just those words. You know, I've heard, you know, she can't do anything since daddy passed or since daddy left. You know, she depends on me. They say it, but they say it in other words. But this young lady said, I became her husband. She looked at me.
And that was a breaking point
husband.
For her, because she recognized an issue.
Yes, I'm her husband. She could fulfill everything but a sexual desire for her mother.
Yeah.
But everything else, you need to fix it. You need to do it.
She started taking care of the siblings, picking up the siblings, and she mentioned all of that. So she became parentified when her father abandoned her mother. Absolutely.
But the key was, too, the guilt of going to school and leaving a mother when a mother, you know, made her feel guilty by going to school.
Oh, yeah.
And with her being such a, she's very smart and sharp. I mean, she is one sharp lady. And, you know, can you imagine that she had not gone to school? She would not have the confidence and the things she had. So she's trying to make up for leaving a mother. Leaving her mother wife to go to college, you know, and there's no way you can make it up because you're never going to be that husband.
Yeah.
You're never going to be that husband.
And that's what people, and that's what mothers and daughters need to understand. You will never be able to make up what you thought was supposed to be. You can never go back. We talked about this in class on Thursday. You can never go back. You can't pick up where you left off with other people because other people have changed just like you have changed over the years. So all you can do is pick up where you are and go from there. So if you're trying to make up for something that you thought you left undone, as trying to please your mother, you will always be in this state of codependency because you. She said her mother calls. She is on her way wherever whatever she's doing. She stopped and she's in motion to go and try to assist her mother or be there when her mother wants her to be there. It is an error to think that any one person can meet one person's needs. You will never be able to do it, and in that constant vicious cycle in that attempt. It just keeps you on that merry-go-round. It keeps you on that vicious cycle of codependency. You can get off anytime you choose. You just have to know what you're dealing with. And I told the young lady, you can't do this by yourself. It takes professional help to help you see certain things, plus we have what's called blind spots, Dr. Fletcher. And it takes people like you, people like my class, it takes things like the class in order to point these things out, and then you have to go to find some professional help. If you can do it, you would have done it a long time ago. You need professional help to deal with codependency.
Yeah,
because
you don't understand the process.
First
of all, they need to go to God, you know,
absolutely.
You know, and get straight with God, because and then God's going to lead you. He'll talk through me to people, but you really got to go and find your purpose. And once you get your purpose, then you can say, okay, I'm going to sit down and talk to Dr. Fletcher, because these are the things that's going through my head. Can you help me look at them, organize them, and I can facilitate their thoughts and their thought process and how to manage those conversations in their head. But other than that, they have got to identify who they are. That's why it's so important for that 3 day. Spend 3 days. Who do you love so much that you can't love yourself enough to spend 3 days? You will get up and go around the world with someone for a week on vacation. You will do whatever. Don't let it be this love of your life. You'll just take off and leave friends, family, everybody. Because what? That's what you want to do. So I'm saying, if you want to improve your relationship between your mother and daughter or anyone in your life, mothers and daughters, I'm saying you take the 3 days. Love yourself just enough that you can say, I'll take 3 days and I'll spend 3 days with me. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to talk to God. And we're just going to start all over again in 3 days. I'm telling you, it's the most amazing thing that will happen on that third day. The third day, I'm telling you, it's like resurrection. These things mean something. That's why people do three. They say things. They say it in three. Whatever affirmations or whatever you're saying, if you say it in three, by the time you get to the third time of saying it, it's revelation energy that comes up in your belly that just warms your soul. Anything that you want, just say it three times. Three times. So 3 days, that third day, manifestation just pops up all over the place. And it's just worth it, because then you're getting to know who you are. And once you know who you are, then you will know what God has to work with. And He'll show you and reveal where we need to make changes. And until we do that, we're really not going to be able to serve Him in the capacity that He wants to be served, because He wants you to be ready. He don't want you to start going. And I'll just use myself. The Lord said, you wasn't ready. Even though I thought I was ready, I look back now and said, Lord, thank you. I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready because I had too much of Bessie in the way. I had too much that I wanted to do. I had the plan. I'm just doing all these things. He gave me the ideas, yes. But as one young lady said to me one day, Dr. Fletcher, the Lord told me to tell you that when He gives you a plan, just because He gives you the plan doesn't mean He wants you to start on it right now. Now, that really stopped me in my tracks, because I thought once I got the idea, once I got the vision, yeah, and the God is saying, I said, oh, my God, I'd stop everything I was doing and start on that. Because, you know, my God would say, well, Mommy, you're just all over the place. Because he kept giving me these visions and kept saying, I want you to do this, and this is what you're going to do, and this is what you're going to do. And I'm just like a popcorn, pop, pop, pop. Until she said that. She said, he said, just because he gave you the vision doesn't mean you have to start on it right then. He just letting you know things to come. It helped me tremendously, but I still have my habits. I have to catch myself sometimes now. And being where I am now, you know, I've learned to relax and just take a day and say, you know what, I'm just going to chill today. I would never have done that, because I thought, if I'm busy, I'm doing something. And you get more done when you decide, I'm just going to rest and listen today. Like yesterday when I was talking to you, I'm just going to rest today. I've got everything that I need to do. All the paperwork is done. Everything is done. Now, I'm just going to rest. Today, I'm just chilling at the pool. I'm sitting here by the pool just chilling. You know, normally, you know, we think busy means success or some achievement. Busy means that the enemy will keep you off course. That's all it means. He wants to keep you busy. He wants to keep you so that you and your daughter can't get together. You and your daughter can't go spend that time together. Oh, that's his gig. So, any last words you want to say, Cynthia? And we're coming to the bottom of the hour.
Yes, I just want to say that three-day challenge that you're giving people, it's all about reflection. You can't see yourself in the face of other people all the time. And so when we neglect to spend time with God and seeking whose we are, then we'll know whose we are, and then we won't have these issues of thinking that we always have to be attached to people. Thank you for allowing me to share.
I thank you. It's been an absolutely wonderful opportunity to look at different ways that people can notice if this codependency or if it's something they need to work on. We're just throwing it out there, and, you know, you can pick up what you need. And I always tell people that if it's not for you and it's nothing that you need, then just throw it in trash can number 13. Our job
my
is say, just to bring
my
out.
My saying for that, Dr. Fletcher, if it don't apply, let it fly.
I'll let that go, too. Yes, if it don't apply, let it fly, because it's not for you. Because, you know, if you got anything out of it, just think about it. And the three-day, I think, can help each and every last one of us. This is just, it's just a personal meditation time, gives you time to reset your mind, gives you time to look at what your consciousness is doing, your subconscious, to reevaluate, to take some things out, replace it with some other things, you know, take that those negative conversations out of your subconscious mind and replace it with a positive. Just look at, what did God say? As I tell most people, just go to Google. There you go. Google in, what did God say about? And when you say, what did God say about, it will come up with a series of Bible verses and things that God said on the topic. And just read those. Because a lot of times, you know, people say to me, well, I have a hard time trying to read the Bible. Well, same here. Because a lot of times you have to have all the background or, writers, information on the writers and their theory and all that. But look at what God said. And I just read all the things that Jesus said. I print them all up, look at it. What did Jesus say? Let me just find out that. And just get into that. And if you do that for 3 days, amazing things will happen. So I just wanted to say to you guys, we love you. I wanted to bring that topic out today. We did something a little different. I wanted Cynthia to be a part of it because that's her area of expertise. So I wanted to have her explain a little deeper so that you could have an idea if you are in a codependent relationship. Mothers, if you're looking at your daughters as your husband, or if you're making your daughter feel like they have to do something for you, then, you know, don't do that. Let them love you and let them do what they want to do for you. A lot of times, because we as mothers didn't do the right thing, you know, the daughters is giving us back some of the medicine that we gave them. So in order to make it a better, healthier relationship, you got to have an honest conversation. You got to find out. You got to apologize for the things that you've done, and you got to find out what's on her mind and have that honest conversation. Thank you, Cynthia. I truly appreciate it. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
That's our show. Have a good week. And remember, do a self-examination and spend 3 days with yourself and God. You'll be amazed at what will happen, at the results. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.